The book of Leviticus is that book where so many people who start out reading through the scripture every year kind of get bogged down. It's kind of like reading a medical journal, you know, and it's hard, as your former pastor used to say, to get hoarse from shouting, reading a medical journal. Brother Bob used to say that a lot. But in the book of Leviticus, 116 verses, I believe, I know over 100 verses, are given in the 13th and 14th chapters. I'm still getting feedback here, I don't know, to diagnose leprosy. And so it's with that in mind that God has some intention. Do I need to just turn this one off and stay with this one? Would that be better? Just do this one? All right. All right, Leviticus chapter 13. We're going to be looking at several different passages, really verses, in this one chapter. And I want you to follow along with me. I think it's important that you get the sense of this. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, exiled but not excluded. Exiled but not excluded. Leviticus chapter 13. Look at verse 8 with me as we are given this diagnosis and then the preferred or only response to that diagnosis that the law had, and that is found in chapter 14. Leviticus 13, verse 8. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Now, the thing I really want you to notice is that the priest will pronounce him unclean. That's the real weight I want you to get out of that verse. And then, if you would, go with me down to verse 11. It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. Verse 15, and the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. Now, I could move on through chapter 13 and point that out in several places, verse 15, verse 20. But then I want you to go to verse 6. Back up to verse 6. Leviticus 13, verse 6. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. Verse 13. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all the flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. Again, we could go to a number of other verses, verse 28 and others in this particular chapter, that points out the importance of the pronouncement of the priest. You see, the thing I want you to see is it didn't matter what the leper thought of himself. It didn't matter what others thought of the leper. The only pronouncement that really mattered was the pronouncement of the priest. The priest became both salvation and condemnation. And while leprosy was a disease, it was a disease of such a nature that healing was not good enough. It had to be cleansed. And in every situation, with the exception of two, Miriam and one other, when the Bible addresses the issue of leprosy, it never talks much about healing, but it talks a lot about cleansing. There was something about the nature of leprosy that was larger than itself. it addressed a deeper issue of the human condition. And it required not just a healing, it required a cleansing. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 5. And I want you to see how the Lord Jesus himself treated a leper. Luke chapter 5, and then we're going to begin reading in verse 12. Luke 5 and verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. If he had cancer, it would be in stage 5. If he had AIDS, he would be at the point of being almost bedridden and unable to speak. He was full of leprosy. Not in its imperceptible beginnings, but at the end where its gruesome manifestation has reached its apex. He was full of leprosy. It was obvious to everybody that here was a leper. Now, notice what he did. He's seeing Jesus. Matthew says he came to Jesus. That's important. Bucked all tradition, bucked Levitical law. You see, for him to come to Jesus as a leper was for him to put himself in jeopardy. He could be stoned for doing that. But if you're full of leprosy, stoning could be nothing but a blessing. So here he is, full of leprosy, laying tradition aside, having heard that Jesus could heal the leper. The word among the lepers was, he can do it, he can do it. And not being willing to miss this one open door that passed by him, he came. He came to Jesus. He fell on his face. That's the word in the language of the New Testament for worship. Proskuneo, it's a word used exclusively for worship of God. And this leper falls on his face in abject repentance of his own uncleanness, feeling the weight not only of this disease, but the weight of the sin that the disease illustrated. He falls on his face and he besought him, he begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he put forth his hand. Oh my, there's no way we can grasp the significance of that. A leper was not supposed to come within 6 feet of a non-leper. And if he was upwind from him, he couldn't get within 100 feet of him. Jesus, breaking all Levitical law and tradition, reached out and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, wow, immediately the leprosy departed from him. My mind was filled with thoughts of returning to the good old USA. I had been on the island of Okinawa for 1.5 years, away from my wife and away from my son for 1.5 years. And somebody said to me, Tommy, before you leave the island, you must go to the leprosarium. So I got a friend of mine and we got on a bus and went to a rather isolated section of the island of Okinawa. We rode for quite a while and then the bus parked and we got out of the bus and we walked for a considerable distance up a narrow, dusty road. And finally, it came in view. A central hut surrounded by smaller huts. And when we got there, we discovered that that central building was a hospital. And those huts were where the lepers lived. We walked on to the campus of the leprosarium, and I have to tell you, it almost took my breath. Handless arms reaching out to us. Bodies scooting around without legs. People, old and young and all in between, staring at us out of sunken eyes with faces with no noses. And when they would try to speak, all they could do was have guttural sounds. It made a profound impression on me. These people had been exiled from normal society there on that island, but I was so glad to hear that not while they were exiled from society, they were not exiled or excluded from the gospel, because the dear man who had founded that leprosarium was a Christian missionary, and he was going throughout all the island, and all those lepers were invited to come, and he shared the gospel with them. And that dear, sweet man was destined himself to contact that contagious disease and die a leper. Can I tell you that that whole experience gave me a new appreciation for leprosy as an illustration of the character and the consequences of sin. If Jesus were here today, he might possibly use AIDS, but at that time, leprosy was the absolute worst physical problem you could imagine. And yet, when we come to Luke chapter 7, we find that again in the New Testament in a more profound way. While this leper was exiled, no doubt he lived in a compound of lepers. And while he was exiled from society at large, he was not excluded from the gospel, and he was not excluded from the Savior. God had even a place for him. Now, when we turn to Leviticus 13 and 14, we see that at the very least, this leprosy is an illustration of something far more than the disease. It had to be cleansed. Now reflect with me just for a few minutes about leprosy as an illustration of sin. First, I want us to look at the character of the disease and see how it pictures the character of sin. It begins so imperceptibly, doesn't it? Just like sin. You see, leprosy could lie dormant for years in a person's body, and it never really expressed itself. And even though the term leprosy was called a living death, and even though they inexorably were walking toward the grave, they didn't know it. Sin begins so small. It brought then both emotional and physical pain, not only to the individual who had it, but to the whole family of the one affected. And the leprosy of sin is the same way. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And when we rebel against God, we make it hard on ourselves, but we also drag into our rebellion those who love us. I got an email this week from a dear family friend that I used to pastor, asking me to pray for their son, an adult. But the choices he made as a young man are now haunting him, and he's caught in a cycle he can't get out of. And here are parents who love their son, but the leprosy of sin has drugged them into the spiritual disease. Imperceptible in its beginnings. I remember as a young father, my son's best friend would come over to the house, and my son would go to his house, and they would play. They were so close. Little did we know back then that that little boy had surging within him the germ of leukemia that was eventually taking him to a premature grave. Imperceptible. Who would have dreamed that that little black-headed boy in Austria would grow up to be Adolf Hitler? Who would believe that a preschool Stephen Paddock would grow up to make the worst mass murder in the history of our country? Imperceptible. Here's the farmer out plowing. And one day he sees a little pimple on his hand. And he goes to his wife and says, "Honey, look at this." And she says, "You know what? We need to watch that. Just a small little pimple." The next few days he comes in and there are more pimples. And they're not only breaking out on his hand, but there are white spots that are coming into his forehead and his eyelids. And his eye, and his wife says, "Honey, you better go to the priest." And he goes to the priest. And the priest examines him and pronounces him with leprosy. It starts out ever so innocently. You see, that's the way sin begins. Just one drink, one beer with the boys. At first the drink, the boy has the drink, and then soon the drink has the boy. How does adultery begin? Just as a little white spot. An innocent flirtation, listening to a co-worker share their problems at home, consoling them a little, then emotions get added to the mix, and then a physical attraction takes place, and lust leads to sin. Something physical happens, adultery occurs, and lives are ruined, and the deadly spot of leprosy begins to reveal itself. A teenage boy has just a little spot of leprosy on their record, just that one friend from the wrong crowd. And the devil makes sure that it all comes together one night at the wrong place, at the wrong time, and circumstances snowball on them, and they do something they would never have dreamed of doing when the night began. But now everyone knows. Their pictures in the paper. Somebody got pregnant. Somebody got a disease. Somebody's dead. A deadly dose of leprosy crept in, and it all started as a little white spot. Sin, when it is conceived, brings forth death. So it is not only imperceptible, but it leads very quickly, like our farmer, to becoming intensely loathsome in its manifestation. Sores began to cover his body, became ulcerated. He would begin to bleed and the flesh would begin to fall off his body. As a leper, he would begin to emit a foul odor so bad you could taste it. His voice would become raspy and his breath wheezy. And then he would know that there wasn't a whole lot longer for him. Intensely loathsome. You know, the devil never wants us to see that part of sin, does he? He wants to hide it. He wants to show us the glamour of sexual promiscuity. He doesn't want us to see the single mom working on minimum wage trying to take care of a child she never intended to have. He doesn't want us to see the loathsome manifestation. And then can I say thirdly in this character, sin, just like leprosy, renders one insensible. This is an amazing thing. If you've studied anything about leprosy, you know, it's an amazing thing. Do you know there are 4 million cases of leprosy in the world today? We kind of tend to think it no longer exists. Now, the word leprosy in the Old Testament was a broad word that meant stroke, and it covered, I think, a lot of skin diseases. The word literally means scaly. The modern day version of leprosy is called Hansen's disease. And one of the men who gave his whole medical career to the study of Hansen's disease and who basically saw some progress in the treating of Hansen's disease was a man by the name of Dr. Paul Brand. I've read his books and he tells some stories that make the hair stand on your head about treating leprosy. He told about watching a little man in India. I've been in India many times and I've seen this same kind of little man sitting around a fire. He was a leper. And he was cooking some yams. And he said, I literally watched that little leper reach into that fire and turn that yam over. He said, unaware that it was blistering his hand, unaware of what the infection would eventually do. Dr. Brand said, I've seen people step on nails and never know it. He said, it's not at all uncommon for lepers to go to sleep at night and the rats come in and eat off their fingers and they don't know it until morning. Insensible. Insensible. One of the most frightening verses to me in the New Testament is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19. Who being past feeling. Wow. Then let me say next, leprosy was inflexible in its results. What do you mean by that? I mean, it's inflexible. I wanted to use the word inexorable to show you I'd been to seminary a few times. But it's inflexible. That means it leads to sorrow and death always. You see, there's no comfort in saying, I'm not as bad as that leper over there. That's kind of like saying, I'm slightly pregnant. I'm not as bad as that leper. You know, the only difference between that leper and you, T-I-M-E. Sin ultimately, inflexibly, inexorably leads to sorrow and death. Lord Byron, the promiscuous poet who died of venereal disease, said, my days are in the yellow leaf. The flower and strength of youth are gone. The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. That's sin. Then let me just say next, the leprosy was considered to be incurable by any human means. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, the only thing they knew to do with lepers was exile them, and ostracize them. It was incurable. It was thought to be incurable. There are very few cases of the curing of leprosy in the Bible. Naaman is one. There are a few, but they are rare exceptions. And any time a person was ever cured of leprosy, they always said, God did it. It was considered a miracle. You see, in the 20th century, mankind has cured a lot of diseases. Remember when I was a child, polio was a feared disease, whooping cough, measles. Even in the 1980s, they found a cure for Hansen's disease. It takes a couple of years, but they can now get a total cure of leprosy. They can't restore, obviously, the limbs that have already been eaten away, but they can cure Hansen's disease. But there's one thing mankind has never done. He's never devised a cure for the sin problem. You see, the only cure for the sin problem is like you said, my brother. It's Jesus Christ. John said, he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I like the way that's rendered in the Holman Bible. He says, the heart is incurable. Or as the nearly inspired version says, the heart is without cure. Without cure. Without cure. There was no cure. We've seen the characteristics of the leper. Now I want you to consider with me consequences of the leper. It does three things very quickly. Listen quickly. I won't take long here. But you need to see this. First of all, leprosy separated. It separates. When the priest would see that little farmer, he would separate him from his family for 14 days. Then at the end of those 14 days, he would break the bad news and say to that farmer, you have leprosy. I can hear the farmer saying, well, I know that means I've got to be taken away. But let me say bye to my wife first. No. Well, let me go and hug my kids. No. You won't see your wife again. You won't see your kids again. the average lifespan of a leper exile to a leper colony? 9 years. Sin separates. I see it. I see it. I've been in Baptist churches half a century. I see it. I see the wives sitting in worship without their husbands. I see the husbands without their wives. I see them pass the Lord's Supper plate and one will take it and one won't. I see teenagers who come to church regularly, but their parents never show up. Sin separates. Secondly, sin soils. Everywhere he went, he had to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. It soils. If he drank, the vessel he drank from was unclean. If he touched a wall, the wall was unclean. If he touched a body, they were unclean. If he slept on a bed, the bed was unclean. Everything he did as a leper was contaminated. There's a verse in the Old Testament that I think is so pertinent here. It says, the plowing of the wicked is sin. You say, what do you mean, Brother Tommy? Proverbs 21:4. The plowing of the wicked is sin. I was preaching a revival 1,000 miles from here and 1,000 years ago. We were eating in the home before the service of a fine Christian lady, but she had told us beforehand, my husband's lost. My husband's lost. He's not saved. She said, he's a good man, but he's lost. And while we were sitting eating that night, this lost man began to tell us all that he had done at the church. He told us all the sheets of paneling he had nailed up, all the repair work he had done on the church. But in the same voice, he would indicate that he had never repented of his sins and put his faith in Jesus. Can you imagine that man standing before a holy God? Why should I let you into my heaven? Well, because I nailed a sheet of paneling in the church basement. Because I helped fix the floor. My dear friend, the plowing of the wicked is sin means that everything I do apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, apart from the salvation God gives to me, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Every nail I drive while refusing Jesus is an affront to a holy God. Sin soils. Sin separates. And then, as I bring this to a close, sin secures judgment. Leprosy brought judgment. If the high priest came out and saw the leprosy, he pronounced judgment, separated him from society. You see, the leper could argue, and he could say, but dear high priest, sir, don't you know that living 3 houses down the road, there's a man much worse off than I am. His sores are bigger than mine. See, that didn't matter. The only thing that mattered is what the high priest said. The only thing that matters is not what other people think of you or what you think of yourself. It's what does God think? What does God think? It secured judgment. Now, the cure. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got that point. Because I told you that there was no cure in the Old Testament for leprosy. But can I tell you, there is a cure for the leprosy of sin. And that cure is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Leviticus 13 and 14, there was an elaborate ceremony. I don't even have time to read it. 116 verses, I think. It goes through an elaborate ceremony to pronounce the leper clean. It involved the killing of two birds. And the one bird would be killed, the other bird would be dipped in the blood of the one that had died. They would attach cedar wood to it, and then they would release the live bird. Death and life. Death and life. I'm not prepared to make this sweeping statement that that's a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, I can't help but see it as an illustration that if leprosy is going to be pronounced clean, there will be death and there will be life. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He took that leprosy upon himself that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, don't you see it in Luke? You see that leper throwing all fear aside. We see him coming to Jesus, much to the horror of the religious leaders. He came and Jesus touched him. And the man said, if you will, you can make me clean. Oh, if I could just encourage you here today, my dear friend. If I could encourage you to come to Jesus like this man came. Oh, he came desperately, threw himself on the mercy of Jesus. He came reverently with worship in his heart, using that word which is exclusively used of God. He came urgently. He said, Lord, I need you and I need you to heal me now. He came humbly. He said, Lord, you don't have to heal me, but if you will to hear me, you can. He humbled himself. Not like the demanding modern-day prosperity gospelers. But he came humbly saying, Lord, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And then he came with faith. He said, Lord, I believe you can do it. I trust you. My dear friend, if we'll come to Jesus like that, we can have the leprosy of our sin healed. Jesus still wants to touch lepers. You know that? But here's the difference. Today, he touches lepers through your hands and my hands. You see, Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? Malcolm Muggeridge was in India bathing. On assignment, he was a journalist out of Great Britain. He had always wondered what it would be like to have an affair. He'd been married for years, but he just always toyed with the idea, what would it be like to have an affair? So while he was bathing in the Ganges River, he looked up and he saw an Indian woman some distance away, bathing, tanned skin. From there, she looked attractive. And he said to himself, now is the time. And so Muggeridge began swimming underwater to that leper. You see, she was a leper. But he didn't know it until he got right in front of her and he came out, looked into her face, a face with no nose, a face covered in white blotches. And the first thing that came out of his mouth was this, you wretch, you. Muggeridge said, I no sooner than got that out of my thought process till it hit me. No She's not the wretch. I am. Folks, that's what this message is all about. It's for you and me to stop seeing other people as the wretch, other people as the sinner, other people as the one that needs, and helping us to see it's our leprosy that was placed on the perfect, sinless, precious Son of God. I'm the wretch. My sin, your sin, sent our Lord to the cross. Please bow your head with me. Exiled, but not excluded. Put out from society, but not alienated from the good news of the gospel. Friend, I don't care who you are today. I don't care how bad your leprosy is. I don't care what you've done in your past. Jesus Christ took your sins, all of your leprosy, all of your sins, all of your spiritual leprosy upon himself. He died the death you deserve. And now he offers you and me life and his righteousness. But you must come. Come like this leper. Come desperately. Come humbly. Come reverently. Come in faith and put yourself at the feet of Jesus. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, if we ever could really see our sin like you see it, I'm not even sure we could lift our head in this sanctuary. Oh God, we're so desperate, and the problem is we're desperate and we don't realize it. God, would you pull back the curtain this morning? Help us to see our sin like you see it. And Lord, break our heart over our sin. And then, Lord, thrill our heart over the fact that you're a long-suffering, gracious, good God who did something about our sin problem. You took our leprosy in the person of Jesus. You took upon yourself our sin. Hallelujah. Lord, if there's anyone in this building today that has never come to realize their lostness, may this be that time the Holy Spirit would make that so real. And they would repent of their sins and come humbly, reverently, desperately to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Our staff is here as we sing and worship together. Altars are open. If you need to come, please do. Let's stand together right now as we sing our invitation hymn. I need you more.
Song I see, more than the next heartbeat.